This episode is brought to you in part by Swim. Here's the thing about wishlist apps. Most of them just sit there. A customer saves a product, and then nothing happens. Swim actually activates that data. When someone wishlists a product, you could trigger price drop or back in stock alerts and feed that intent directly into Klaviyo or your CRM. You're not guessing what people want because they've told you. Plus, customers can share wishlists for gifts, and your team can view them to offer personalized service online or in-store. And unlike cart abandonment, wishlist data is permission-based. These are people raising their hand saying, "Hey, I want this, just not right now." Swim's been around for over a decade. It powers 45,000 stores and installs in about 5 minutes. You could try it for free today at getswim.com/Kurt. That's getswym.com/Kurt. Today on the show, we're talking to someone who is in the top 1% of Shopify stores. All right, that's pretty good. Got to be eight figures to get there. But he didn't get to his first year in profit until year six. We're talking about Fresh Chili. And the guy who built it had nine other businesses he had to kill first to get there. My guest today, Chris Lang. And we're going to talk about what broke him at 39, what he walked away from, what he kept, and why he now publishes his ROAS publicly every week, and other stuff. Wow, interesting. Chris, welcome to the show. We met recently in Nashville.
Yeah, we met at Ezra's event in Nashville, and you gave one of the most memorable talks.
Oh, thank you.
It was really refreshing, especially just the way that you deliver, information. But also it's like, you know what I mean? It's just like the checklist. Like, all right. Yeah. I think I took more notes during yours than anyone else's.
That's the best compliment. I appreciate that. Made my day. So, okay. I could not believe the number of businesses you're involved in, have been involved in. For sure, the label serial entrepreneur applies to you. Give me the highlight reel.
Very publicly, we've talked about like growing up in extreme poverty and that really left an effect on me. So like at age 30, when I started my first business, well, I went to six different universities. I didn't know who I was, what I wanted to do. Like, and especially college back then, it's like you really had to fit in a box back then. Right. So like didn't apply to me at all. And so like, so my first business, it was a creative social agency. I was actually working for the software company and I was traveling to like Mexico City and New York. And then I was in London and I wrote the business plan for this creative social agency because I just closed this like $20,000 deal at LaGuardia over the phone on the way to London. I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. And this deal came from like Twitter, So I'm like, this is interesting. This is like 2011, mind you. This is like back in the day. And so I got really excited. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do this creative social agency. Didn't have really a lot of experience in it. And back then I was going door to door, knocking on doors. And it was like, I'll, make you a website and social media. And they're like, nah, we're good. We're in the yellow pages. Like that's how like the mindset was 15 years ago. Right. And so like through that, worked in a lot of traditional media, but also kind of like pushing forward, with every kind of new unlock that we've had in the internet since. And then in 2016, started my first Shopify brand. It was with every purchase, we would donate lunches back to the public schools. And in 2020, we paid off the debt for all the families on the reduced lunch program, which created this ripple effect of Title I legislation here in New Mexico that allowed all families not to have to pay for their children's meals at schools. And so that was really crazy. But in my hometown, which is I live in New Mexico, Hatch, New Mexico, which is 30 minutes from here, is the chili capital of the world. And so like Hatch green chili, Hatch red chili, everything chili, it's a way of life here. And my partner was making this product in his home with his wife and he was a commercial real estate. That was his full-time job. And he was like, I want to put this online. So they kind of heard about what I've done locally. And so that kind of led to, us joining together. And then basically, that was 2019. 2020 happened. We were set up on Shopify. We were ready to ride the wave at that point. And we just really scaled until about 21. I think that's when I got the famous, you know, Facebook update with Apple, you know, that really broke all infinite money printers at that moment. So, but through that, you know, through those successes, I got a lot of other opportunities, you know, restaurant, winery, Airbnb, coffee shop, real estate magazines. I mean, just other CPG opportunities. And I mean, it kind of broke me. It was overwhelming, you know, and taught me a lot.
Let me stop you there. When you say broken, because I think this is important to talk about, and I suspect this is like it's burnout. Maybe it's more extreme than that. What did broken feel like? Like, is this a body thing, a mind thing, or both?
Yeah, it was both. I mean, it was a mind and body brokenness. I'll just say like depression, like it's just to be clear. I didn't seek, you know, therapy. I didn't seek, you know, medication other than maybe, you know, marijuana or CBD. Like, you know,
well,
I didn't really like, you know, I kept, you know, in life, you're like, you're just in this video game where you just keep hitting the same level until like you can be, you know, the beast at the end of the level. Right. And so like, I just kept, you know, facing the same beast over and over and over. And it was frustrating. It was hard. It was difficult. And I think that's what it was. It just, I needed to have clarity. And I think that's where sort of that brokenness comes from, is not having clarity.
And it sounds like what exasperated that was you had 10 businesses.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, 10 businesses.
I can't conceive of it.
And I mean, and like so many different industries, right? Like how I came out of it was like, I had to have like this real heart to heart with myself. Like, what do you love doing? I love telling stories. Okay, great. Everyone says that today. Like storytelling is very, you know, very overused in AI world now. But like, what do you really love doing? You love marketing. I love marketing. Yes, I love marketing. Like, it's not like a place I think a lot of people find themselves, right? Like, I love marketing. And it's just like, I think sometimes advertising or marketing, some people kind of get into the industry. But I think there's very few people who really love it. And I was like, I love this. I really love bringing community. I love building community. I love like connecting with people. Like, you know, so like all those things combined, that's where I was like, okay, so where do I do that best? Do I do it at a restaurant best? Do I do it at an apparel store best? Or do I do that? And Shopify and e-commerce is just one of those things that's like, I love the ecosystem. I love the people in the ecosystem. And I was like, okay, great. Double down on what's working for you really well, which was Fresh Chili. And then I have an agency, but it was born out of my DMs. We kind of talked about that. Was like, I was just sort of talking about what I was building in Fresh Chili, and then people sort of, you know, started seeking me out. And so I have, you know, the Fresh Chili, the agency today, but it was like one of those things that like, it was like Fresh Chili, and then, okay, great. Like, now who do I respect in the space to like, let's go and build more Shopify, you know, brands and stores. And so that's kind of where I'm at today, is like, you know, just having that clarity that I love building this ecosystem. And I don't think e-commerce is going to go away at all. Like, I think people are going to dress their robots. They're going to want new rims on their Tesla taxis, you know, like all the things. So like e-commerce is just going to thrive even more. And so it's just a really fun time, especially with all the AI tools that are coming down the pipe. I wouldn't say that like I'm working less. It's probably making me work harder at the moment.
Well, that's kind of the funny thing about AI. You know, it was pitched to us as, you're going to save all this time and then you're going to be able to go outside. Nope. I'm going to produce 50% more and do 20% more. Like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Self-inflicted, but I like it. But all right. So you're like making yourself crazy with all these businesses. Some you wind down, some you sell, you exit. You narrowed it down to Fresh Chili, your agency business, and then I'm told you're starting another thing with Ezra Firestone this year. Are we going to do the same thing to ourselves?
Him and I have similar backgrounds, not the same, but similar, you know? And I think we have a lot of the same values.
Ezra grew up on a commune.
which I, very few people have this experience, but he grew up in like a genuine commune. You grew up on Cherokee land in Oklahoma, right?
So my mom, she was very new age, and I would say that I experienced a lot of hippie commune scenarios too growing up. So we were very transient. We traveled quite a bit, have a lot of unique experience. But yeah, growing up Cherokee in Oklahoma, I had to learn, read, write, and speak Cherokee. I had to, you know, live off the land, and, you know, like, it was just a unique experience that I think when you're self-sufficient in that way, it teaches you, differently than what I think a lot of Americans kind of upbringing, you know, like, you know, poverty in America now, like people still have a roof over their house and iPhones and PlayStations, you know? So it's like, it's a little different. Right. So, but yeah, I think we have a lot of shared values. We also want to serve the world like unselfishly. We want to use those profits to, you know, give back to the causes. That's something that both of him and I, you know, have done publicly. And so through that, it was interesting. You know, we talked about a couple of things, and, you know, I was just kind of like, I'm just not ready. I had to tell him, like, I kind of have all this, I don't want to say baggage, but I was like, I need to work through some things here. And that was sort of the catalyst. Meeting Ezra, I can confidently say, was the catalyst for seeing what success looks like long-term in this space. And also what it means to build with like-minded people, because you have to also understand, like, in each of these businesses, like, I was the tech guy. I was the internet guy. I was a Swiss Army knife. I was doing email, paid, social, like, I didn't have a team. I did it all myself, you know? So like, but that was my skill set, as I really knew how to, you know, create momentum and, you know, and saturate a market and, you know, and so it's like, but now I get to do that for the first time in my life with someone who's very like-minded and understanding what Shopify ecosystem looks like, what paid ad, email, social all means to the ecosystem. So I think that's what's really exciting is like, you know, finding that person that you can build with in life. You know, I think we don't all need it. But I do think, like, you know, what was interesting, there's this one of my favorite podcasts is How I Built This,
right?
You know, the NPR one with Guy, you know, and I think it was, you might correct me if I'm wrong, Steak Shack, that's out of New York, right? Like, they're born out of New York, Steak Shack.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Or was it Shaken? So I might be mixing them up, but like, the founder of that was having a hard time in his business, and he was just complaining to his grandpa, and his grandpa looked at him and was like, you know what the definition of problems, you know what the definition of business is? And he's like, what? He's like, solving problems. And he's like, in life, you know, like in business, if you sign up for business, you're gonna be solving problems. So who do you want to be solving problems with? And that's always kind of stuck with me too. You know, it's like, am I solving problems with the right people? And I'm really ecstatic. I mean, we're in the product development stage. I just locked down the domain. I locked down the social handles. We're in the trademark phase. Like, it's one of those things where, you know, it's fun to move with someone who's moving in the same direction as you.
Oh, absolutely. And he has, you know, so much experience doing product development and branding and store building. I mean, yeah, very similar to you with similar experiences, background, but then just, you know, a ton of resources in this growing portfolio. So I want to talk about Fresh Chili, your Shopify store, because that's, you know, that's a top store. We're thinking it's top 1% of Shopify stores. It's doing 8 figures annual, and it took 6 years to where 6 years for it to be profitable. And so I explain that to someone who would hear like 1%, 8 figures and go, man, this guy must have trouble deciding which Lamborghini to drive today. You know, and no, that's like, that isn't necessarily the reality.
No, I mean, the thing about it is, you know, it's like hard numbers. 27 million generated and 27 million invested, right? Like, let's be honest with ourselves, right? I mean, any brand who's even probably doing 50 million in revenue has probably put 50 million back into it, right? So, like, people don't understand those economics when it comes to growing a brand, right?
That so cash, like, conversion cycle, it makes or breaks you.
Yeah, I mean, agencies cash flow, brands, you know, they really take a lot of cash at the beginning, you know, and I think that's where, like, you know, there's people out there is like first profit, you know, first order profitability and all the things. I mean, the reality of it is, like, it's a lot harder than that. Right. And so it's just, oh man. And we got into a hard business. I mean, think about that for a minute. Like, we're shipping, I don't have it in front of me, but like glass jars filled with liquid, you know, full of salsa, like 25.
Yeah, you're playing on hard mode.
Yeah. I mean, 25% of our sales is, you know, shipping. So, like, it's not easy. It took 6 years because, you know, to turn a profit because we did things on hard mode. You know, we built our own manufacturing. We built our own shipping. You know, the reality with Ezra and I, you know, looking to build in the future is we probably won't own our own manufacturing. We won't do our own shipping, right? Like, we'll outsource that out. We did something that was very unique to the ecosystem, but we did it because, you know, having the, and people oversay this all the time, but like with us, it's truly true. Like, we were so committed to producing the highest quality product that you could buy to where we actually built our own, you know, manufacturing facilities to do so, you know? And so, like, it, because again, like, there's, when you compare it side by side, like, there is no comparison. Like, we truly did that. That isn't something where it's like one supplement versus another. Like, no, like, if you can physically, you know, see it, and it's just proven. So, like, I think we did things that were hard, but I have enjoyed it. I think it's given me a lot of battle scars. I think it's given me a lot of reps. It's given me, and that's the thing, like, people don't realize, like, I've worked 7 days for the last 7 years on this brand, like, you know, 7 days a week, you know, seven. I mean, like, you don't turn off your Shopify mind, you know, as an entrepreneur. So it's just like one of those things that, you know, you're right. It's taken a lot to get there, but yeah, I mean, it's not because, and that's the other thing too, is like, you know, yes, we turned a corner, but even this year, going alignment with partners, my partners now is like, okay, growth has been good, but now I want to just take home more profit now. So now, like, partnerships have to align on the goal of the business. And that's, you know, another thing a lot of times behind the scenes people don't see, right? It's like,
right,
you know, some people do want to drive the Lambos, some people want to build the business. And so, like, it's just, it's really hard to align incentives around that, right? So it's like, that was the cool thing with Frustrally is that we do have the ability to take it where we want at this point, you know, and we've definitely been, you know, approach to be acquired. And, you know, we could have had a 7-figure exit, a few years ago and, you know, all those things. But it is one of those, you know, opportunities that I love. I do love building brands. I do love, like, I do hope at one space to build, you know, a brand that resonates with a lot of people.
Hey, today's episode is sponsored in part by Zipify Plus. Because you've got enough to do as a business owner and marketer. The last thing you need to be worried about is optimizing your upsells. But if they're not optimized, you're leaving up to 20% of your revenue on the table every single month. So be honest, did you start a new batch of split tests on your upsells this week? Of course not. Real optimization requires constant attention, running tests, launching offers, reading reports, adjusting for sales. Your team's too busy for all that. Zipify Plus takes over your upsells completely. You get a dedicated team that builds, manages, and optimizes your upsells for you. They work with over 100 Shopify Plus stores. Their average client sees $233,000 a year in extra revenue without lifting a finger. If you can't remember the last time you updated your upsells, go to zipify.com/USP to book a free strategy call today. Their team will audit your store and show you exactly where you're leaving money on the table. No commitment required. That's zipify.com/USP because you've got enough to do without worrying about upsells too. All right, so you went vertical. So you owned manufacturing, shipping, like you owned everything. Second time around, you would outsource, it sounds like. Why, you know, why doing it all yourself, like you own it, it eats up resources to do it, but then in theory, at the end, you know, better result, potentially more profitable. You know, I understand why someone would do it this way. What's making you go, you know what, let's outsource it this time around?
I think category, I mean, I don't want to like divulge the category at the moment, but like it is one of those things. I think category, like there's this, it's proven, right? Like, you know, the manufacturers we're going to, like, this is what they do. This is, it's proven. The quality's there. We do have a few tweaks to like what we want to do there to make it a higher quality for sure. And to give it our own, you know, angle, because you got to have that, you know, what makes us really stand out, you know, in the space. But I think it's just like, you know, for the next product that we're looking at, it's like, I don't have the skill set. Like, I don't have access to the farm. Like, if I want to go to the farm and check out the, you know, boom, I'm there, right? Like, there's literally,
yeah, you can see your raw material input.
Yeah, like I can visit my the facility and like all the things. Like, I'm not going to have access to those opportunities, you know. Here. So I think that's part of it. Also trusting Ezra, to your point, like he has so much experience in this, like so much. So like, I'm also having to not be the one who brute forces the production, but someone who's also taking a back seat and learning and listening. And, you know, obviously I'm leading with the idea and the product, but it is one of those things that like I'm out of my depth here, if I'm being honest, and I have to recognize that. But again, too, like I think what's really cool about this too, and going back to like COGS and margins, is like we're kind of looking at margins too, you know, at the beginning, which is a nice overview. A lot of times we do something we're very passionate about, you know, helping with a cause and printing. Screen printing t-shirts in the garage, or, you know, harvesting chilies and roasting chilies, like things that are really hard and difficult to do. Like even, you know, winery, you know, growing grapes, harvesting grapes, crushing grapes, it's a whole process, right? Like we've done things very hard that was sort of like these things that are born out of labor of love and not necessarily with, and you know, from a business standpoint of, you know, how do we make this, you know, profitable? Because that's what we're in business, you know, for is to turn a profit.
I want to ask you about the profit. With Fresh Chili, what's the thing that changed this year in Q1 that made it profitable for the first time?
Oh, we're spending 80% less on Meta right now.
How so? What's the magic? Customer acquisition costs, CAC, ROAS, you know, what I am paying Meta, Zuckerberg's hand in my pocket. That's, I am convinced, for 2026, to be like, what's the biggest problem in e-com? That's going to be the big pain or problem for almost everybody.
Yeah. I mean, the Shopify business model is so dependent on giving Meta 30% of your business, just like the Apple App Store for app builders, right? Like they have a moat. And so what's interesting is like, I built such a strong organic social community, you know, like over a 250,000, you know, followers, but also like more engagement than Heinz, Tabasco, Truff Sauce, Cholula, you know, Sriracha, like all these other brands combined, like on Meta, you know? And so like, I'm able to tap into my Facebook group of 36,000 members and, you know, provide value and extract value. Same thing with the social audience, right? So like, one of the things that we leaned into this year, and again, this is, I'm a builder. I'm a scientist, like you talked about, like I'm an architect, like I'm trying to reverse engineer things here a little bit, but we're leaning into giveaways instead of spending
been a while money, since I've done giveaways.
Yes. Yeah, instead of spending some of that money on Meta, which we do, we still spend a good amount on Meta, enough for us and them to change us to invoicing and not allow us to pay by credit card anymore.
Thanks for that, by the way.
Right. You know, we started experimenting with giving our customers, you know, cash. And it's been interesting. I would say ROAS has been around a 5 blended overall. On Meta, it's been about a 7-8, which is ridiculously high. You know, Google, which again, it's hard to trust Google's, you know, attribution of everything, but you know, around a 6. So like, but blended overall with like email and everything else, I think around a 5 is kind of where we're sitting at. But it is one of those things that we're trying to get more creative. And, you know, will that hurt our sales? Top line, yes. But I do believe that we're going to also go into other ad channels like AppLovin this year. And I think we were really bloated with Meta, but we were also bloated with other lines of credit, loans, you know, things that we had, you know, we had to scale hard on Meta to cover a break even of, you know, $500,000 a month, right? It's not easy. So it's like one of those things that like we had to spend certain amount of, you know, spend to cover our costs. But, you know, as these things get paid off, now we can start to look at cash flow a little bit more. But I would say tapping in, this is the number one thing. I don't care if it's email. This is like probably the biggest advice that anyone can take away this one clip. The biggest advice I can just say from anyone is like tap into your existing audience, whether that's email, your Shopify segments, you know, your social channels. Like there's just people are always so focused on top of funnel. They don't nurture what they have. They don't nurture what they have. And that's something I've been optimizing more over the last 18 months, I think so. So
now, Fresh Chili, we have a consumable good. Literally, I'm going to eat it. What are you, any chance you're able to sell people on a subscription? It's hit or miss. It's tough to sell subscriptions. But if you can, man, that recurring revenue is sweet.
You know, what's cool is we have 2,000 subscribers. And again, like I said, I mean, it's up and down. I mean, you know, people opt in for the big discount and then cancel. People get too much product. They don't know what to do with it. Cancel. You know, so
that's
like
a common one.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like what we kind of leaned in though was like memberships. And Revo, who does loyalty and rewards, I don't even know if they offer memberships. They did a custom program with us where
I think it's new because we have Revo. We just launched Revo memberships. Well, they did it for us on Pins and Aces.
I think we were the first brand for them to test it with. I mean, on a Black Friday, two Black Fridays ago. So like now it's over 600 members paying $200 a year. And that's another 6 figures in revenue for us, you know, but it's like memberships has been pretty cool too. You know,
because, what do they get in the membership?
Yeah. So we obviously, what do you think our number one complaint is, you know, cost of shipping, right? So it's like they get free shipping.
So it's like Amazon Prime.
Yeah. They get free shipping. They get 20% off, you know, they get new product drops. They get some cash back, you know? So I would say like the membership's been good to overcome the free shipping thing because we offer free shipping. We go out of business. I mean, we're just not even business at that point. Like people just don't understand the economics. Like, oh, they can't ship this to us for free. It's like, no, bro. Like it literally costs money.
I was lucky to work with Casey Bard on Tact Calories, and I remember him talking about it. He's like, yeah, I'm trying to ship bottles of barbecue sauce or wing sauce. What a nightmare, right? Because it's liquid and it's glass.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the margin is not what you'd think it would be. And so, you know, you have one that shows up broken, like, okay, we're now, that's a net loss. Like, man, shipping glass, it's tough.
Yeah, so I mean, and again, going back to 6 years of figuring that out, you know, what the best packaging is for that and all the things and then the cost of packaging, so...
Yeah, well, it's, you know, every time you make an order, great. Okay, that's just incurred a new shipping expense. So yeah, how do you keep shipping in line? Is there any, you know, any advice there beyond the usual, like negotiate the rate?
Yeah, don't lose money on shipping. I think this took us maybe this might have taken us 4 years to kind of, and it was really our general manager who helped us get it over the finish line. Because like, you know, there was just a lot of disagreements internally as far as like, well, you know, do we cap shipping at $10 or like, you know, do we make customers pay for shipping plus 10%, you know, all these things. And I would just say like, just don't lose money on shipping. You just can't afford to, you know? So like, just, you know, continue to iterate on the product, the promotion, the offer, you know, win the customer over there, you know, but don't lose money on shipping, like at all costs, like, you know, you got to hold the line there, you know, if you're in CPG, for sure.
Do you hear other e-commerce owners talking about finding a winning ad and think, I can't even get my ads above a 1.0 ROAS? You have to babysit your ads. You bump the budget 20% because Meta says you'll get better results if you spend more. Results get worse, so you drop it back down. You launch new creatives. None of them get spend. You question if Meta Ads is even going to work for your brand. The problem is you're not using a proven system. You're just guessing. And guessing works right up until the month it doesn't. Then you're stuck with a massive line item on your P&L called Meta Ads, with no additional revenue to show for it. The E-commerce Alley's Meta Ads scaling course was built for exactly this. You get a budgeting framework, a two-campaign structure for testing and scaling, and a weekly checklist so you always know what to touch and what to leave alone. And all of it costs $27. That's it. Visit ecommercealley.com/Kurt and scale your Meta Ads on a system instead of lighting your money on fire. Thanks, E-commerce Alley, for sponsoring this episode in part. So I want to talk about the scorecard that you post on LinkedIn. You share everything about this Fresh Chili business on LinkedIn. ROAS, MER, conversion rate, ad spend. And you've been doing it for, what, 2 years?
About 2 years now. It looks like a flex now, and it wasn't meant to do that, you know, which is why I haven't been as consistent lately. But it's like one of those things that, like, I was doing it because there was a lot of parts of my business that were broken. And
so when you started this, these numbers didn't look so hot.
No, they didn't look hot at all. You know, I mean, it was like one of those things, like MER is probably like 45% or something, right? Like insanely, you know, gross. So it's like, you know, I started kind of publishing these, you know, and I would say like, I just got some validation from, like, I remember Sean from Ridge and Zach from Homestead, you know, Hollow Socks and now Marsmen. But, like, you know, just people kind of reached out in the DMs, you know, behind the scenes and really gave me some great advice, you know, Ezra as well, you know, and you know, in a sense of like, these people know how hard it is. They've lived through it all, you know, and now we all live through it all. So now it's also a chance for me to also start conversation with other brand owners and give back. But it is one of those things that, you know, I started it, you know, really kind of looking for help. And then it turned into like where you got investors who are interested in the company and then people want you to speak at different events. So it kind of like snowballed beyond what I was sort of intending it for. But all of it's been a net positive, I would say, you know.
It's refreshing, right?
Yeah.
Most people go online and they're like, hey, look at how successful I am with like some really thin backup, if at all. Versus you're like, here are my KPIs, help. And that's what it sounds like. And then people did, because they had been there too, right? No one just starts successful.
No. I mean, we were losing money. We were bleeding money. You know, this has been a very costly business, you know, Fresh Chili has. And even though we've turned a corner, it is one of those things that, like, you know, say that we take on investment or if we get bought out and all of a sudden you see Fresh Chili in every grocery store in America, it looks like an overnight success, but it's like, no, it was a very, very expensive, you know, trial, you know, of on so many levels. But going back to that, it's like, I've enjoyed it. Like, it's been extremely hard. It's been very difficult, but I enjoy the difficult. I enjoy the hard. I appreciate, you know, the insight that it's given me. I really, you know, I think of it as a, like an F1 racer who's just basically was just finished last, you know, race after race after race, and then was able to finally win one. And all of a sudden now, like, you're like, huh, you know, but unless you take those laps, unless you take those reps, you're never going to cross the finish line.
At the start of our interview, you said you felt broken. Posting your bad numbers, yeah, is the opposite of hiding, right? You're out there. Were these events related? Was this the cry for help?
I think so. I think so. It was like, and again, context is like, I live in the middle of the desert. Like, I live in New Mexico. I do not know any other Shopify entrepreneurs. You know, this isn't, you know, yeah, I can go to San Diego or Austin, you know, jump on a plane for different events, right? But like, I had to do that. I don't think a lot of business people do that. They're in Ohio. They're in, Wisconsin, they're in Idaho, and they're building alone. You know, they don't have, you know, they listen to your podcast, or they maybe listen to, you know, to a few other kind of like self, you know, help. But I think it's important to kind of start just opening up, sharing publicly, and then, you know, letting your tribe find you a little bit. You know, it's been part of the narrative for me. So
was there internal discussion here, pushback, like, hey, maybe we shouldn't share this?
So the ad spend, when you're spending like $1.5 million a year on ads, like all of a sudden it's like, we don't know if we want everyone to know that, right? Like, I think there was a little, and then also too, like, you could imagine my DMs with software providers, right? Like, they see that, you know, or agencies, right?
A lot of spam.
Yeah. You know,
sorry, so like, cold outreach.
Yeah, right. So I think that's been some of it, but not bad either. You know what I mean? I've been, you know, very blessed to now have access to different tools, just because people will know that I'll post about it publicly. Like just today, like, you know, I had to say in Twitter, I had to say like, not a paid partnership, but here's what Zipify's done for me, right? Like, you know, gets you access to great, you know, tools or opportunities that maybe you're not able to look at, you know? So like, it is one of those things that, to your question though, it was a signal. Yeah. I can say that confidently.
All right. Let's turn this into some actionable advice. If a merchant wants to start tomorrow sharing, is there like, man, can we come up with like a minimal viable version of an authentically vulnerable moment, or am I wildly over engineering this? Just post what isn't, you know, where you're struggling and be honest.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think maybe, you know, talk about the area that you are struggling with. I mean, and that's kind of like where my heart is a little bit, you know. It's just like, I think with entrepreneurs, I think our business is a reflection of our lives. And that's a hard KPI to put out publicly.
Well, and at the same time, I think it goes both ways. We are so emotionally invested in our own businesses as entrepreneurs. You're right. It is a reflection of us in both, you know, the work we've put into it, but also, you know, what's going on in our own lives and in the business and vice versa. That, you know, that makes it very, very hard to share publicly, doesn't it? Like, it's just, I mean, a lot of people are like, man, I don't want to go face to camera. Like, that's a thing you have to get used to because it feels like vulnerability. Now sharing, like, here's where I'm struggling emotionally, right, financially. Holy right. crap. That's a tall order, man.
It is a tall order because I'll tell you something. Let's have a moment here. 2 years ago, really broken. You know, I think maybe my accountant told me you should think about filing for bankruptcy. And, you know, all the things, right? And I had a lot of internal voices of why not to start posting publicly. And I told myself, like, oh, maybe you're overweight, or like, you know, you don't want to put that out there. Or you don't want to be seen as a failure. But I think that's just ultimately what I've done is I put it all out there. I don't think that's good for everyone. And I don't think that's a good tactic for everyone, but that's just where I was at. You know, I was struggling to find the right ecosystem to build in. Maybe that's a better way to say it, you know, but I knew my ecosystem was online, but unless I participated in that conversation, I never would be here today.
I mean, for sure, this is what gave you the guidance to get back on track, to get these things successful, you know, your life, your mental health, and your businesses. Ultimately, though, did it help you find your tribe?
It did. It really did. I mean, it was one of those moments now, because, I mean, when you're building, and whatever reasons you're building for, you know, you worry a lot about the future. And I have peace about the future now. And to be able to find people that I know that I can go build with, or if I have a problem, you know, they have a solution in the space. And I think that's ultimately what I was, as I said, yes to a lot of different opportunities. it taught me what to say no to in the future and what to say yes to.
And that was, at the start you said you had a scarcity mindset where it's like every opportunity you said yes to, and ultimately that led to 10 businesses going an inch in every direction instead of a mile forward and, you know, like tearing your hair out.
Right. Because I have opportunities. People will give me equity in their company to go build their Shopify store. That doesn't lack. But who do I want to build it with? That's what I'm saying yes to now. You know, it's not that I don't have opportunities anymore. You know, it's just want to focus on the opportunities that align with my values.
Fantastic to have that realization and fantastic to embrace that opportunity and be able to. But you're right. It all started with like a truly, authentically vulnerable and scary thing to do. You know, that open sharing. Today, you've got 2.5 brands that we're building, you know, in public. Our half one is a venture with Ezra Firestone. Very exciting. What I keep coming back to, that scorecard, it was never a marketing tactic. That's why it worked.
Yeah, I mean, I think it signaled how I want to build, though. And it doesn't mean Ezra and I have to make everything public. I'm not saying that. But that I wasn't going to hide behind the numbers. You know, because a lot of software providers have access to my numbers, right? Everyone, how many people have access to my Shopify store? Fact check everything, right? Triple well, all the things. Like, I geek out over the numbers. The numbers make me excited. One of my favorite books when I was a child was a baseball encyclopedia full of stats. You know, like, I'm very much like a nerd, you know, when it comes to these types of things and metrics. And I think it just really signaled that, like, hey, I really want to focus on these things. This is where I want to focus. You know, who wants to focus on it with me? So.
Jeez. I wish my story was that cool. As a kid, I was just like, I like computers. All right, Chris Lang, I'm thrilled you joined me. I'm thrilled to have met you. Fantastic conversation. Where do people go to learn more about you?
At Chris Lang Social across all the platforms is where you can find me. And I try to do a little bit of everything everywhere, you know, with newsletter but what I really plan on doing, and you know, I have this, I'll release it later, but there's this conversation that's been recorded of Ezra and I talking, but I'm really just looking forward to building, you know, over the next year, and I'll try to share as much as I can throughout the process, but I'm really looking forward to just building.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. I appreciate it. Folks, that's the episode. Chris Lang, Fresh Chili. He's got his scorecards on LinkedIn. You know, go check it out. Check out Fresh Chili. And, you know, somewhere out there, if you're listening and you're an entrepreneur, you've got 7 tabs open in 3 businesses, and you're like, man, I know I should probably kill 1 or 2 of these. This is your wake-up call that, like, hey, that do it. It'll give you the focus to make the other one successful. Hey, before you go, I was hoping you would check out our new app, Promo Party Pro. It is what I want to be the single best, easiest way to run a free gift with purchase promo on Shopify. We just put it live in the App Store. We've got less than 50 users. We want your feedback. So if you need to run a free gift with purchase promo in the near future, install it, try it. There's a live chat. I check that all the time. And so if you have any issues at all, you know, or any suggestions on how we can make it even easier to use, let us know. We're happy to help. If you want to try it, search Promo Party in the App Store. Promo Party Pro is the app. Give it a shot. It's got a free trial. Thanks.